gentlemen, David Tompkins from Leo Cybersecurity and Idris Rafiq from CU Resources. Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Excellent. Terrific. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, it is. We're kind of what? Almost the last day, second day of the conference, something like that?
Yes.
Yeah. How's it going so far? How's any highlights for you guys so far?
I'll let you speak. You're, you know, more intimately involved in all the orchestration.
Yeah. Well, maybe we shouldn't get behind the orchestration, but it's a phenomenal conference. Mm-hmm. Every year just gets better and better, yeah. and just the engagement of the credit unions, the sponsors, the attendees. Mm-hmm. It's a great turnout, and every year just gets better and better.
Yeah. Sure, sounds like it, and it grows too. Yeah, it's growing like crazy.
Absolutely.
So it's good stuff. Hey. The topic at hand here is a partnership that you guys are working together,
mm-hmm.
and kind of an information security aspect of it. You were giving me a quick kind of a process rundown before the recording. So if you want to take the ball and run with it, and then we'll hand it over to David when it gets to your turn in the process. So
yeah.
Idris, take it off. Take it away.
So a lot of what we're doing is security risk assessments,
mm-hmm.
and ASATs and helping credit unions achieve compliance.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll identify where they need to increase their security posture from a compliance standpoint, but also from a best practice standpoint, because
mm-hmm.
we work with credit unions from 2 million to well over 2 billion in assets.
Okay.
So we know what their peers are doing, what they're working with, what works, what doesn't
mm-hmm.
work.
Mm-hmm.
So increasing their security posture is key for us.
Mm-hmm.
We have a vested interest in the credit union success. So as we go in and we're making these recommendations to these credit unions, we leave them kind of high and dry. You know, we say, okay, here's your laundry list of things to do, and good luck.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking with our credit unions, that was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we were looking for a solution for somebody to come back behind us and help the credit union
mm-hmm.
hold their hands
mm-hmm.
in achieving those best practices
mm-hmm.
or those compliance components. And that's where had several conversations with Leo, and they seem to be a really, really strong fit for us.
So where do you, I'm likening this to a track relay, the 400 meter track relay. So they're handing the baton off to you, and then you take it. And so where do you guys go run with it?
Well, like Idris said, you know, they kind of go in and are the diagnostician and help credit unions get a sense of, okay, here are the things we need to look at, a little bit of prioritization around the plan. The trouble there is Idris alluded to, is that creates more work for the credit union.
Mm-hmm.
The IT and IT security staff, if they even have that, are already inundated
mm-hmm.
with other projects.
Yeah.
And just as a rule, you know, credit unions on balance have, you know, some serious resource challenges. And if they even have resources around security, and, you know, lack either the time and or expertise to be able to carry out and, you know, basically drive the program
mm-hmm.
forward,
mm-hmm.
A lot of which includes, you know, some of the compliance and risk stuff that Idris and his team do, but it's really quite a bit more than that. It's more, you know, really we situate ourselves as, you know, essentially like adjunct staff
mm-hmm.
to the credit union,
mm-hmm.
And provide them the resources and the expertise
mm-hmm.
We provide actually a dedicated team of personnel that have collectively the requisite skill set of people that are security skills that they need to be able to carry out much
mm-hmm.
of what Idris is talking
mm-hmm.
about. Most credit unions, even sizable ones, you know, they may have one security person.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes that person is moonlighting, doing, you know, a lot of other work.
Oh my.
Yeah, and doing security when they can.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very common. One of the reasons that you know, we've, you know, gotten involved in the mission and identified that, you know, there's a great amount of need in the industry as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So really the additional things that we're doing are, you know, we very often will provide leadership that drives the program. We provide security technical resources
mm-hmm.
to carry out
mm-hmm.
many of the tasks that, you know, Idris may find deficiencies in some of their, you know, technical deployments or
mm-hmm.
and or, you know, the different programmatic elements of building a security program
mm-hmm.
of which surprising to many people, most credit unions kind of know this, really extend far beyond IT. And IT is a central component of protecting the environment, but to build an enterprise class security program, you've got to do things like get the entire organization on board, you know, education of senior executives, be able to quantify risks so that executives can make better decisions about, you know, do they want to accept risk, do they want to invest to mitigate, you can transfer risk via cyber insurance, all of these things, you know, the credit unions, this isn't their core competency.
Right.
And so we provide, you know, we fill that gap of being able to come in and, you know, provide them both the resources and the expertise to essentially develop a mature enterprise security program, not a reactive program based on technologies and stopping bad guys, which always gets front page headlines.
Sure.
And really, but the other things get short shrift, you know, and so, you know, our experience, you know, our whole model has been taking giant enterprise security practitioners, bringing those guys down into the mid-market, and essentially being able to build a security program inside of a credit union that extends very often beyond what they're already doing. And a lot of it is not that they don't necessarily know how to do it, they just have the time and resources.
Right. That's usually the case, time and resources, especially with the smaller shops, you know.
For sure.
Resource challenge, for sure. So have two complementary services like you guys come in and help them out is probably a godsend for sure.
Yeah.
So give me a kind of a list of benefits that this does. Obviously, peace of mind is one, is a huge one.
Yeah,
are there any, what are some other benefits of this partnership that you guys are finding?
I think a lot of it is when we started talking to Leo, many of his practitioners were on the same page. So we have the same sense of, okay, is this adequate or is this not adequate? Why are credit unions doing something? Why are they not doing something?
Yeah.
So I think that we are on the same page, so we're not recommending things that they wouldn't agree with.
Sure.
And vice versa, they wouldn't deploy something that we wouldn't agree with. So I think a lot of it is that we're on the same page. We understand the regulations, and we understand that compliance doesn't equal security. So there has to be a security posture that we agree on and that we see eye to eye on. And a lot of that is credit unions, again, from really small credit unions to really large credit unions that we can see eye to eye on.
It sounds like it's a really seamless transition.
Yeah,
since
absolutely.
You guys have been working together. And so, and that's probably comforting to the credit union as well, because you don't want somebody coming in like, what did they say?
Yeah, exactly.
Why are they doing this? To have two complementary companies come in and go and working kind of hand in hand here. So
exactly.
Probably a nice comfort factor for the credit union.
Yeah, I would further elaborate, and this is more of kind of a macro indicator that we've observed both in the credit union industry and from, you know, much of our experience working in large enterprise in the past. 10 years ago, or even a dozen years ago, in large enterprise, we figured out compliance was driving security. The regulators were coming in and saying you have to do this, and people were, you know, essentially doing what they were required to do. We figured out that doesn't work. And regulation inherently, you know, is it follows a problem. It lags the problem. Security is a different animal in that you're facing an adversary that's constantly chasing, you know, changing their game, that their livelihood depends upon it. And so what we figured out, you know, like about 10 years ago, is that if you do really good security, you'll cover off on compliance. Compliance will be covered, you know, covered off on. And the credit union industry is no fault of their own at all. The credit union industry, much of many of their security decisions have been driven by the regulation. Again, behind the times, right? There's some interesting things happening in the credit union industry where NCUA and subsequently some of the other auditing groups that will follow NCUA for the most part are really kind of upping their game and taking, you know, what was probably a dated set of requirements and now starting to require a great deal more of the credit union. So in some ways, from a timing perspective, this partnership and what we do for credit unions is very, very timely, and that they, credit unions, the term gets overused, but they weren't necessarily checking the box. They were doing what was required mm-hmm. only. Mm-hmm. And one of our taglines, he kind of mentioned it earlier, is compliance doesn't equal security, right? And we figured this out in the past that, you know, in our past lives, that there's a, if you just build a mature across the enterprise security program, which, as I alluded to earlier, you know, includes many components that have nothing to do with technology, then what ultimately will happen is you will be compliant and then some, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of an interesting trend in that we're sort of experiencing 10 years later what much of me and my team experienced in the past, you know, a decade ago, mm-hmm. Where, you know, we were conforming to regulations lagging the industry, or lagging timeliness of what needs to happen to, you know, keep up with security. Mm-hmm. And we're helping, you know, credit unions today address not only that mentality, or, you know, that practice that they had of really letting the regulators in some ways drive their security strategy, but even more importantly, because the regulations are increasing, you know, the credit unions are left, again, no time, no resources yeah. to yeah. deal with more requirements. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so that's, and again, you know, where we sort of insert ourselves into the equation and start to build the program across the organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like how you said that when you do the right things in the security arena, it covers the compliance, it covers
absolutely
all the regulations.
Does.
So,
yeah.
again, another comfort mm-hmm. for the credit union.
Yeah.
A big one, for yeah. sure, because that's a hot topic for them right now. So where do we go from here? What's next for you guys? What are the goals for this year? Just near-term goals, long-term goals?
Right now, it's really to help as many credit unions as we can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we go in, we're not only documenting and trying to figure out what they're doing wrong, but we're trying to document what they're doing right.
Okay.
NCUA and examiners want to see if you have a firewall, do you have a risk assessment determining the need for a firewall?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get a lot of examiners who aren't IT savvy, so the validation that we have mm-hmm. Is key.
Mm-hmm.
So working together and helping credit unions increase their security posture is really the key thing right now.
Right.
Again, you know, with losing a credit union a day, we don't want that to be because of a security-related incident.
Right.
We want to keep the soundness of the security of the credit union industry very strong, and especially from a security posture, we don't want them to go away because of a security incident.
Right. You want to keep them out of the headlines,
yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
Let the big retailers take all the headlines.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep the credit unions out of the headlines, for sure. But I mean, but people time to time again say it's not a matter of if, it's when.
Absolutely.
Right. So, but we're keeping them at bay so far.
Mm-hmm.
So I think each year kind of, it seems like it's a day-by-day task for
right.
you guys to keep the bad guys
right.
at bay. So
yeah, one thing we've seen on that, that's a good point, is in our work in the last 2 years with credit unions and the many credit unions that we now have as customers, we've seen an increase in the amount of targeted attacks very specifically focused on credit unions, just in that short amount of time.
Yeah.
And not just a numerical increase, but a level of sophistication that these are truly targeted. The bad guys, you know, got credit unions written on their whiteboard,
mm-hmm.
And they're specifically, you know, taking a lot of action to, you know, come after the organizations. This is, you know, our theory is that credit unions have kind of been flying under the radar. If you look at the sophistication of attacks that takes place in correspondingly sized, let's say, regional banks,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Much more sophisticated in the past at what was happening than when we first entered the credit union space and on the regional bank side. We don't work with regional banks, but just in our relationships with people in banks, we were able to see that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a concern, right?
Right.
I mean, because the credit unions, you know, there have been a limited number of big breaches, and correspondingly with the banking sector,
mm-hmm.
and that's a bad thing. When you start getting the sophisticated actors that are turning their attention, breaches are inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
We're in many ways outmanned in this fight, and you know, we kind of in some ways try and run you don't have to outrun the bear, you have to outrun the guy next to you.
Exactly. Yes.
And in some ways it's kind of like that. You do your very best and hope that, you know, they knock at the door and then leave and, you know, go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So as far as the partnership, though, I think where we are is we're in the process of getting the word out, you know, to the Cornerstone League members,
mm-hmm.
You know, going in and they're aware of what Idris and his team can do, and walking in now to the credit union organizations and saying, okay, well, hey, look, we diagnosed the problem. And now we have the resources with, you know, my organization, mm-hmm. to be able to actually help you fit, you know, we're not walking away saying, you know, you got a bad report card, go, good luck, right?
Right.
And they don't always get a bad report card, right. You know, let's not, credit unions, you know, great, great, great people, and, you know, the mission-oriented part is something we love as an organization, because good security people are pretty civic-minded, mm-hmm. mission-oriented folks.
Yeah.
So we're grateful, very grateful to be working in the industry. And they're many of them are doing good things. But overall, and I've said this many times on record, the overall maturity level from a securities perspective of sizable credit unions, and again, many of them are aware of this already, is you know, below the standard that it needs to be.
We can always do better. Always do better.
Yes. Yeah.
Especially in this area.
Yeah.
I don't think good is never good enough. You got to do great things in this area, especially so to protect these people's identities, mm-hmm. members' identities, obviously their finances, all that type of stuff. So
yeah.
I think credit unions for a really long time have been low-hanging fruit that have been, like you
the same
said,
term.
Yeah. That like you mentioned, have been flying under the radar in seeing that it's no longer strictly a financial gain, these threat actors, they could be nation state organizations, and having the credit union industry as critical infrastructure, we have to defend on that side too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just a one-prong approach where we're getting script kiddies or people like that are trying to breach our credit unions, mm-hmm. In that manner. So we have to look at it from different angles.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, David brought up a great point earlier about inherently, if you have good security, you're gonna achieve compliance.
Yeah.
And when you get to a certain level of mitigating risks, I think that there are credit unions who have a hard sell to executive management when there's not an ROI.
Mm-hmm.
So when you bring in a professional team like David's team in Leo,
mm-hmm.
and their incredible staff in their knowledge, so when somebody really knowledgeable comes up to you and says, hey, you really got to take care of this, board of directors, executive management, start listening.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's kind of that they could be saying it all day long, but mm-hmm. until you get an expert to come in and say what you've been saying, then mm-hmm. it makes sense.
Yeah, I've spoken to a lot of credit union CEOs, as you guys have, and I tell you, 10 out of 10 of them will say their top concern is cybersecurity.
Yeah.
Cyber, I mean,
here's the funny part about that, though, is that for years, Idris just alluded partly to this. For years, it's been security is a top three concern, like and this includes Fortune 500, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But of those top three, it's the least likely one to get invested in.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. Is it the same?
It's not front and center.
Right.
Until it's front and center, in some ways, it's, you know,
too late.
Being proactive in it is, you know, is essential, but it also is difficult. So that education component of senior management, who often, they know it's out there, if they don't truly necessarily understand their risk, right? They're not experts in the field. It's one of the very, very first things we do when we go in and work with the credit union is we make absolutely sure that we're engaged with senior management, the different stakeholders across, you know, the business units inside the organization, to start to get them to think a little bit more about risk. This goes way beyond doing a security awareness training, which, you know, your employees have to comply with and say, we're not going to click on links and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It goes way beyond that, just so they start thinking about they start thinking about security risk in their day-to-day efforts. And this does not have to be a highly disruptive process, right? It's iterative, and you know, this is what I talk about when you start talking about building a security program that encompasses the entire organization. You know, we need to be talking to their general counsel. We need to even be talking to marketing. Marketing needs to be aware that the information that they're putting out there can be, you know, publicly can be used against them.
It happens.
Social engineering. Yep. I mean, it's one of the key components of any breach. Yep. That is how they will then trick you into trusting them to give them information, allow, you know, and subsequently they will then, you know, burrow into your network and, you know, find the data that they're looking for that ultimately is the crux of, you know, why we're doing all this, because you know, that in itself, you know, you're talking about avoiding breach, and breach is an awful thing. I've been through many of them. That's all my entire background for the last decade, and when it happens, not all breaches are created alike. Some of them are, you know, like a little less than definitely less than others, but when the bad one happens, your entire organization goes into paralysis mode, you have a tremendous amount of risk as to losing your members, people not feeling like their assets are being safeguarded correctly. And you know, it used to be we would build in processes to account for disasters, floods, fires, all of those things. This is no different, right? And frankly, it's a lot more likely than a flood.
It is,
or a fire, or whatever. And so moving that up the list in terms of where you need to invest your dollars, even though it's a top three concern, a lot of times the budget doesn't go there because you know, new technology investments and, you know, for business technology investments can be associated with an ROI. Security is looked at as a cost center, so in some ways it's kind of like insurance policy, right? Which, you know, nobody wants to carry insurance. I mean, you know, more insurance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow. This is a topic that we could talk about for another 2 hours at least. This is a breakout session unto itself.
Okay.
So, but I appreciate the time as always, guys.
That was great.
And this is a really timely and very important stuff.
Thank you very much.
Keep up the good work. And this is another example of not just Creatians collaborating, but vendors collaborating.
Absolutely.
And to help out Creatians. So it's collaboration goes around no matter who you talk to. So this is really good stuff. So keep up the good work, guys.
Thank
all
you.
Right.
Yeah,
we need you out there.
All right.